I was thinking there, as Brother Al was speaking about the matter of jealousy, and that is really one of the chief things that we see demonstrated between those who are the Lord's people and those who are not, as we see with Cain, as he was jealous of Abel and jealous of the fact that the Lord received him and didn't receive his offering. Of course, he didn't receive his offering because he didn't receive him. And he received Jacob's offering because he received Jacob. And Abel's offering because he received Abel. And then, of course, we see that repeated again with Esau and Jacob. The Lord said, "Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." And that's a thing that it really, on the one hand, it makes the world mad to hear about that, but they're not mad per se, because God has said they has rejected some. That's not really why they're angry. They're angry because He's chosen some. Because, you see, and that's the glorious thing to the people of God. I mean, we don't take any delight in the fact that the Lord has caused some to be reprobate, that He created some men unto destruction. I don't find any place of great delight in that, by any means, but that's necessary that we might rejoice and see the glory of His grace, that He might choose some. That those who, you see, every time that we see somebody who manifests their hatred of the way of God, it ought to cause us to be thankful. Not that they reject that way, but because the Lord is pleased to cause some to love His way. And why should any love His way when all of us are of the same mind by nature? I mean, there's no difference between any of us by nature, as the Scripture says. I mean, all of us are by nature the children of wrath. I mean, there's not a one of us that's any different from the other except for the mercy and grace of God that causes us to be. That's the only thing. I mean, we can't get up on a soapbox and boast about how good we are or what we've done to deserve the Lord's blessings, because we haven't deserved any of them. But God, who's rich in mercy, has. And so we see that jealousy at work. And, of course, we see the culmination of it with the Jews when they killed the Lord Jesus Christ. They did it out of jealousy, because they saw that He was received of God and not them. They hated Him because He went about doing things and the people flocked to hear Him. The people didn't flock to hear them. They didn't like it. They didn't like the fact that they were kind of put on the second burner, because, I mean, they'd been the top dogs for a long time, and they'd go down through the streets and people and have somebody going in front of them blowing a horn to tell everybody they were coming, and the people would look at them and say, "Boy, look at those holy men." And they ate it up. They thought it was great. Well, the Lord Jesus came along and He said, "You're a bunch of vipers." He says, "You're of your father the devil." And they didn't like that. And they were jealous of the fact that everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did, He spoke truth, and there was nothing they could do to combat it at every turn. And so it is that it was jealousy. That was. And, of course, as we've been reading here in chapter 2, says, "Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." The Pharisees, if they had known it, if they had known who He was, they would never have crucified him. That is, if they had been given spiritual understanding as we have been, they would never have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they would have, by the grace of God, fallen down and worshiped him. But they didn't know it. Because it pleased the Lord that they didn't know it. Now, do we take any delight in the fact that they, you know, made their own bed, they lay in it, and the destruction of God came upon them? Do we take any delight in that? No, but we do take delight in the fact that God ordained all of this to come to pass for this purpose, that they might take him and crucify him. Because had he not been crucified, dear brethren, there'd be no gospel. There'd be no message of hope to sinners. There'd be no redemption. There'd be nothing that you and I could do or have in our possession that would give us any sort of hope before Almighty God. But it did please him to do that. And so it says here, as we begin reading there in verse 7, in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world began for our glory." He ordained before the world unto our glory. This is the whole purpose of the hiding of the truth of God, so that men could not see it, was for the glory of those people whom he loved with an everlasting love. Now, that's not a palatable message to the natural man. I mean, you know, when men read, "Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated," they always get mad because God hated Esau, don't they? And why is that? Because men think God ought to love them. I mean, if you ask the average person, "Does God love you?" Well, of course he does. I mean, he loves everybody. If you tell them, "Well, the scripture says that he hated Esau." Well, what do you mean he hated Esau? Why did he hate Esau? Well, it's easy to see why he hated Esau. What's hard to see is why did he love Jacob? Huh? I mean, there's no grounds at all, humanly speaking, why he should have loved Jacob, is there? Not that I've ever discovered, any more than I could ever discover any reason why he ought to love me. But you see, by the grace of God is revealed the truth of God. And so that is it's a hidden mystery. It's hidden wisdom. And it can't be passed from one man to another. I can't give a man that hidden wisdom. I mean, I can tell him what the truth is, but you see, it's only God that can open a man's understanding so that he says, "Oh, I see that. I understand that. I rejoice in that." That's a glorious thing. And so it is that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Not because we don't want people to know it. I want everybody to know it. I mean, if I could go up and down the streets and cause people to know it, I'd do it if I could do it. But we speak it in a mystery, knowing that it is a mystery, and apart from the grace of God, a man won't be able to see it. Even the hidden wisdom, because God ordained it that way, unto the glory of his people, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they had had wisdom and understanding of these hidden things, they would never have done that. But as it is written, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Now, it's very plain that a man cannot, by his own effort, know God. Now, most people think they can. Cain thought he could, didn't he? He said, well, I got all these vegetables and things out here, and I mean, these are nice vegetables. Well, I think I'll just give an offering to the Creator. Well, I know who He is, and I know He'd really like this. Now, why did He think that? The Lord never said to Cain, if you'll serve me, you'll take these vegetables and offer them. No, He just thought it was a good idea, didn't He? And that's what He did. And that's the way that man's religious thought is. He just thinks, well, you know, I'll choose this religion. Well, you know, I've married this person. You see this happen quite a bit. You know, in marriages, a lot of times one person maybe is I'll use this example, and I'm not being critical, I'm just using it as an example. Donald Trump's daughter, she married this guy that was a Jew. Now, I don't know, I mean, nominally she was raised as a Christian. Now, whether how much that was, again, that's not for me to say, but nominally. Okay? And this fella here, he was a Jew, and how much of a Jew he was as far as the religious practices of Jews, I have no idea. But they got married, and now she decided, well, for the sake of our family and our unity, you know, I'm going to convert over to Judaism. And that's the way people look at religion by and large. We just pick, well, one just good as another. You know, we're all trying to be good people, and we want to all be unified, and we're all going to the same place when we die anyway, so everything's all right, so we'll just choose one. Well, that sounds good to the flesh, but that's just not the way that the truth of God is set forth in the Word of God. And so, it's what He says here, that a man can't receive the things of God, for they're hidden. And it cannot be gained what God, a knowledge of what God has prepared for those that love Him. Now, everybody thinks they can love God, don't they? Everybody just figures, well, I'll just love God. Well, you can't love God. There's none that seeketh after God. A man can't love God. You can't love His way. I mean, you demonstrate that every day. You know, when you don't love your neighbor as yourself, that's a demonstration of the fact you don't love God, is it not? Because the first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever met anybody that you even thought fulfilled that? Huh? Have you ever met anybody you thought did? Now, you may have. You may have thought, met somebody you thought pretty well did that. Because there's a lot of fine folks in the world, religious folks and dedicated folks and all of that stuff. But the point is that we don't love Him because we love Him. We love Him, why? Because He first loved us. It is the work of God in men that causes them to love Him. And so it is here that He said, we have not grasped it. The natural man can't receive it. What God has prepared for those that love Him. Now this verse, and I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to say it again. This verse is often used as, oh, well, when we die, we're going to get all these things. That's not what it's talking about. You know, well, we don't know what God's done for us in building our mansions in heaven. I have not seen nor ear heard what God's prepared. Now that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the spiritual blessings that God has laid up for the sons of God in causing them to know and understand the things of God and to be able to receive the things of God and to know the things of God. But because, listen to what He says here, but God hath revealed them unto us. He revealed them. You see, faith in Christ is a revelation. It's not a thing that a man can decide to do. Now, the common concept today is, well, just believe. I mean, you could be saved today, just believe. Well, here's the card. Fill this out. All you've got to do is say, I believe. And it'll be so. I mean, you've all seen the signs riding down the road that there'll be sometimes a series of signs, but they'll say in essence, and some of them just say this, get right with God. That's good advice, isn't it? I mean, who would say that's not good advice? The problem is, how's a man going to do that? See, that's the problem. It's nothing wrong with the advice. It's just the implication that that's something you could possibly do. The reality is you can't. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Now, only a man can understand the things of a man. Isn't that right? I mean, the angels don't understand the things of a man. Dogs don't understand it. Now, I'm not saying sometimes dogs are smarter than people, but they don't, the things of a man, they don't get. An angel, he doesn't. Why? Because he's a different creature. Well, in the same light, if you understand that principle, then you would understand then that the things of the Spirit of God can't be understood any other way but by who? The Spirit of God. I mean, a man can't understand spiritual things. He can't grasp them. It's impossible that it is, that he could. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So if you would know anything about the true and living God, guess how it's going to have to come to you? By revelation. God's got to reveal it to you. He's got to show it to you. It cannot be that you figure it out. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, this is just a statement of fact. How is it that we would claim to know anything about the things of the Spirit of God? Because He's shown them to us. Now, we can say by the grace of God that He has shown us these things if we have the understanding that Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. Now, how do I know that? Because the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, as the Lord said, well, whom say men that I am? And some say Elias, some say, one of the prophets, John, or whatever. And He said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did the Lord say to him? He said, Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Now, you can learn that you could go to school somewhere and learn to say that you believe that, couldn't you? I mean, if you asked probably, 75% of the people in the United States, if you ask them if they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I would venture to say that 75% of the people would say yes. Maybe not that high now, but it'd be a great number that would. But that, just saying that, because they would say that because they've learned it, they've heard it. They know that that's what's expected of them. They wouldn't want to be found, to be some kind of a atheist or something like that. I mean, they believe in God, guns, and country, and the Republican Party, and all of that. I mean, they're just in there. They got it, you know. This is what we stand for. I mean, we're standing on it. But, dear brethren, you can't learn about Christ as the Son of God in that fashion. You can hear it by the hearing of the ear, as Job said. I heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, he said. But see, when the Lord showed up, he said, but now, he said, mine eye seeth thee. And the evidence was, he said, I repent in dust and ashes. Because you see, the one thing that the natural man cannot see about Christ is his glory. Now, he can see that he hung on a cross. He can see that he rose from the dead. He can see all of those things that he did. But I'm telling you, by the revelation of God alone can a man be struck with the glory of that in his soul. So that he could say with Peter, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And not just to sign a card, but to really believe it. Just like Philip asked that Ethiopian eunuch, he said, the Ethiopian eunuch said, well, what doth hinder me to be baptized? I mean, he was excited about that, wasn't he? He believed that thing. And Peter said, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart thou mayest, he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, I believe it. He believed it. Now, dear brethren, why did he believe it? Because God showed it to him. Now, if you asked him next week, did he believe it? If God showed it to him, guess what? He's going to still believe it. You asked him when he is 90 years old, if he lived that long, if he believed it, guess what? He'd still believe it. Why? Because he believed it. He received it from the hand of God. And that which God gives a man, the gifts and calling of God, are without repentance. He that called us will keep us unto the end. Because you see, he's the one that gives that gift. And he alone can give it, and no man can take it away. Oh, what a glorious thing. And so when you see somebody that believes today and doesn't believe tomorrow, you can be sure of one thing, that he never received that thing which he believed from the one who gives men faith to believe it. Because it's not a thing that you have one day and you don't have the next. When God gives it to you, you have it. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now I believe this is another thing that every man who truly believes in the glories of the Savior knows, is that was given to him. I don't place much stock in these people that say, well, I figured it out. I just decided one day that I was going to believe. I decided I was going to get my life turned around, and I just started going to church, and I started doing all these things. Wait a minute. Getting the car ahead of the horse here. No. You see, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Because you see, when a man knows what he is by nature, when he's really been told what he is by nature, he knows that there's no way under the sun he'd have ever come to the Lord if the Lord hadn't come to him. You see, these things are freely given to us by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. Even a small child, the Lord can give that to. If it pleases him to do so. And no man can turn it away. Those things are freely given to us of God. They can't be earned. They can't be figured out, but freely given. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We don't speak about these things as man's wisdom. We're not trying to get you wise. We're not trying to make you smart. You see, when we talk about doctrinal matters, our interest is not so that you can go out here and argue with somebody about doctrine. Now, I hope that the things of God and the doctrines of the gospel of Jesus Christ are important enough to you that you'd want to know those things so that if any man asks you a reason of the hope that's within you, that you would be ready to give that man a reason of that hope that's within you. You see, that's a glorious thing. But you see, we're not trying to just learn doctrine so we can be smarter than everybody else. Oh yeah, we're smarter than that bunch. You know, they don't know nothing. Well, we know what the truth is. I mean, buddy, you come down here and you'll learn what the truth is. I mean, you want to know the truth, you come down here and meet with us and we'll tell you the truth. No, I'm not interested in you knowing the truth in your head. But oh, that the Lord would cause the Spirit of God to come and visit you and teach you these things in the depths of your soul, so that those things you speak are not in man's wisdom, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now you see, that's the operation of the Spirit of God in us, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so, you know, when He teaches us to love one another, how does He teach us to love one another? He said, love one another as yourself. As ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so unto them. That's comparing spiritual things with spiritual, isn't it? I mean, because you see, that gets right down where you're at. It's one thing, you know, I get a kick out of all these people that, you know, they say, oh, I love you. And maybe they do, and they do probably in some way, but I mean, you know, people talk about, oh, I love everybody. Biggest lie that's ever been told. You don't love everybody. I mean, you don't. I mean, God doesn't even love everybody according to what the Scripture says. So how you, so you gonna say your love bigger than His is? No. Love's a specific thing. You see, it's something that's wrought by God. The only reason you know anything about true love at all is because God taught it to you. He gave it to you. We love Him because He first loved us. We compare spiritual things with spiritual. You see, Peter learned that lesson. The Lord, whenever he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, and he was pretty proud. He was thinking, man, you know, if I forgive somebody seven times, I mean, that's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, somebody does the same thing. They come up to you every day and slap you across the face. Every day of the week. And you last a whole week. And you say, man, I'm doing good. I forgive him. Buddy, you let him come back next week and see what happens then. And so Peter said, Lord, should we forgive somebody seven times? And the Lord said, Peter, I tell you, you forgive them 70 times seven. That kind of blew him away, wasn't it? Because you see, Peter wasn't comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Because you see, forgiveness is a matter of spirituality. It's the work of the Spirit of God. You can't forgive anybody. I mean, it's impossible. Somebody comes up and slaps you upside the head, you can't forgive that, can you? I mean, not in yourself, you can't. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily what you need to do every time. I don't know. You know, the Lord wasn't really specifically talking about somebody slapping you, but what I'm talking about is something more important than that. Maybe you know, it might be easier if somebody does something physical to you to not do something, but it's what rises up in your heart. See, forgiveness is an attitude. It's not about necessarily the activity that goes on. I believe the activity will follow the work of the Spirit, but nonetheless, spiritual things, the work of the Spirit of God in us. And He teaches us to know what it is to love God. And I think the main lesson He teaches us is to teach us that we don't very well. See, a man that doesn't compare spiritual things to spiritual things, he thinks he's doing a pretty good job. But the man that is comparing spiritual things to spiritual, he knows he's not doing much at all. May the Lord help us.